ભક્તિગ્રંથ ગોસ્વામી મહારાજ જગદગુરુ શિલ્પુ બાર નરમ ચૈવ નરોત્તમ દેવેન સરસ્વતીં વ્યાસમ તતો જયમુદીરયેત નાસ્તા પ્રયેષુ ભાદ્રેષુ નિત્યં ભાગવત સેવયા ભાગવદ્યુતામ શ્લોકે Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is very means of conquest, let us offer respectful obeisance unto the personality of God of Narayan, unto Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, and unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author. By regularly hearing the Bhagavatam and rendering services unto the pure devotees, all that is troublesome within the heart becomes practically restored almost to nil. And transcendental loving service unto the glorious Lord, who is praised with transcendental hymns, comes into being established as an irrevocable fact. So reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 7, text number 14. Asesha,
Asesha,
Asesha, dominated. Asesha samam, sorry. Ashesha Shanglesha Samam Vidate Gunanuvara Shavanam Murari Kimba Punasta Charanaravinda Raga Sivarati Rapmalaba Ashesha nominated Srila Prabhupada simply by chanting the hearing of the transcendental name, form, etc. of the personality of God at Sri Krishna, one can achieve the cessation of unlimited material conditions. Therefore, what to speak of those who have attained attraction for serving the flavor of the dust of the Lord's lotus feet? So please repeat, simply by chanting and hearing, of the transcendental name, form, etc., of the personality of Godhead,
Sri Krishna,
one can achieve the cessation
of unlimited miserable conditions.
Therefore, what to speak of those
who have attained attraction
for serving the flavor of the dust of the Lord's lotus feet? Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Two different methods for controlling the material senses are recommended in the Vedic scriptural wisdom. One of them is the process of jnana, or the path of philosophical understanding of the Supreme, Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. The other is that of direct engagement in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Of these two most popular methods, the path of devotional service is recommended here as the best, because one on the path of devotional service does not have to wait for the attainment of the fruitive results of pious activities or for the results of knowledge. The two stages of executing devotional service are, first, the stage of practicing devotional service with our present senses under the regulations of the recognized scriptures, and second, attaining sincere attachment for serving the particles of the dust of the lotus feet of the Lord. The first stage is called sadhana bhakti, or devotional service for the neophyte, which is rendered under the direction of a pure devotee. And the second stage is called raga bhakti, in which the mature devotee automatically takes to the various service of the Lord out of sincere attachment. The great sage Maitreya now gives the final answer to all the questions of Vidura. Devotional service to the Lord is the ultimate means to mitigate all the miserable conditions of material existence. The path of knowledge, or that of mystic gymnastics, may be adopted as a means for the purpose. But unless mixed with bhakti or devotional service, they are unable to award the desired result. By practicing sadhana bhakti, one may gradually rise to the point of raga bhakti. And by performing raga bhakti and loving transcendental service, one can even control the Supreme Powerful Lord. Ashesha Shanglesha Samam Batati Gunanubada Shravanam Murari Kimba Punastat Charana Ravinda Paraga Sivarate Rapmalaba. Simply by chanting and hearing of the transcendental name, four, etc., of the personality of God, Sri Krishna, one can achieve the cessation of unlimited miserable conditions. Therefore, what to speak of those who have attained attraction for serving the flavor of the dust of the Lord's lotus feet? Om Agyana Timarandasya Gyanangana Salakaya Chakshushun Milatam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manomistam Shapatam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gatabmayam Dadati Svambatantikam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadara Shivasate Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So this is the final synopsis by Maitreya to Vidura. Simply by chanting and hearing of the transcendental name, form, etc., of the personality of God, Sri Krishna, one can achieve the cessation of unlimited miserable conditions. Therefore, what to speak of those who have attained attraction for serving the flavor of the dust of the Lord's lotus feet? So we must understand that what is the root cause of our predicament in this material world. Because if we understand the reason why we are entangled, if we can understand why we are suffering, if we can have proper understanding of why we are suffering in this material world, then there is some hope that we can actually mitigate or get out of this suffering condition of material existence. The material energy, as Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, it works wonderfully for taking the living entity back to home, back to Godhead. The material energy, maya, means illusion. It means that which is not, but it also means affection. So it is also the affectionate nature of Krishna. See, maya is not something which is an alien, impersonal entity. But maya actually works, maya dakshina prakriti suyate chacharacharam ituna nena kuntaya jagad viparivartate. So Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita that this maya, devi yeshuguna mayi, it is devi maya, it is actually divine energy. This energy of material energy is not working in some sort of unorganized manner. It is not not working in some sort of disorganized way. But actually it is working in a very wonderful way. It is a very mystical energy. Very powerful and very wonderful energy. So what is the nature of this energy? The actual nature of this energy is to bring the living entity to his proper consciousness, to bring him to his proper state of consciousness. In other words, maya, although in one sense she creates the illusion of the false consciousness, in other words, although she contaminates the consciousness of the living entity, by which the living entity actually thinks that he can lord it over material nature, by which he thinks he can actually enjoy separately, by which he thinks that he can have that something. Prabhupada said maya means to think that there is something separate from Krishna. So as long as we are separating ourselves, as long as we are separated entities, as long as we are trying to enjoy separately from Krishna, or as long as there is any separate thought within our mind, we will suffer. You see? We will suffer. And to the degree that we separate from Krishna, to that degree the suffering increases. This is wonderful. You see, this is the meaning of affection. You see, that means that Krishna loves us so much that he cannot tolerate us to move away one inch from him. You see? He cannot tolerate it. So he is so much in love with the living entities that it is of great anxiety for him. You see? That the living entity has forgotten that he has made this independent choice to ignore him. So therefore the Lord creates a wonderful, if you like, arrangement by which that the more the living entity moves away in thought, word, or deed, you see, in these things, in any thought, word, or deed, then he becomes implicated. He becomes implicated in a wonderful network, Maya Jal. In India, everybody knows about the Maya Jal. See, Jal means a net. You see? What is the meaning of a net? That Prabhupada uses a better example, the cobweb. That as soon as the fly lands on the cobweb, then every way, you see, the nature of the spider's web. Spider's web is a very wonderful thing because in the structure of the web, the actual part where the fly lands is completely springable, flexible. You know, it's like it's almost like a glue. Although it's 10 times more powerful than steel in actual strength, in relative speaking, for the fly. At the same time, it has flexibility so that it can wrap up the fly very wonderfully. You see? So it has that amazing flexibility. So in the same way, material energy, as Krishna says in the Gita, is endlessly mutable. There is endless mutations, permutations. There is endless different situations. But all they are doing is simply wrapping up the living entity in various types of miseries. Abrahma Bhuvana Loka, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, from the highest planets, from the wonderful planetary systems of the demigods, where they enjoy practically unlimited pleasure, where they are able to enjoy wonderful nectar, they are able to enjoy ever-increasing sex life and beautiful gardens, where they have mystical powers. Prabhupada said some, they can fly planet to planet. They are very beautiful bodies, extremely beautiful. Prabhupada said even if you could smell the flowers on the heavenly planets, you would faint. You see? You would faint. Because it's so powerfully beautiful there, you see? So even though on those places, Krishna says they are still places of misery. So we can understand that all of this arrangement of material energy is very wonderful, constituted. So in one sense, Krishna is fulfilling the desires of his parts and parcels. Because Krishna's only business is to satisfy his devotees. So his only business is to satisfy his parts and parcels. You see? He is the supplier. We are the supplied. You see? You can understand that. If you study, you'll find that you are supplying nothing. You see? What did you supply? Did you supply your body? Did you supply nature? Did you supply phenomena? Did you supply the ability to relate to phenomena? In other words, did you create a brain? Did you create your intelligence? So, if we are a little bit intelligent, we can understand that the both material phenomena and the we can understand that the instrumentation, the material body, which is used for enjoying this phenomena, are all supplied by the wonderful arrangement of the Lord. You see, they're all very expertly supplied. So, as Prabhupada says, man proposes and God disposes. You see? So, therefore, an intelligent person can understand that I've been giving this arrangement to enjoy, because that is my desire. My desire is to enjoy separately from Krishna. So, because there is this separation from Krishna, therefore, although the enjoyment is there, still there is this emptiness, you see, there is this voidness. Or there is this miserable condition. Now, the reason that the living entity suffers in the material world, particularly, is because the environment of the material world is inanimate substance. It is a separated energy. Krishna says that this earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego, they are my separated energies. You see? Notice the word separated. Although they are Krishna's energy, they are separated from Krishna. And therefore, because of separation, they are inert. Matter is inert. You see? Inert substance. So therefore, if you go into a kind of psychological study, you can understand that what is the nature of spirit is that it is completely animate. Antimatter, you see, it is completely animate. This substance here is completely inanimate. And that substance is completely animate. So therefore, you'll see how the living entity in the material world is always trying to create animation. See, we're always trying to create animation. You see, just like the movies, animation. We create animation. Similarly, we are trying to animate matter. So we are building our big skyscraper buildings. But what is it? It's simply trying to bring some form out of that which is formless. You see? We are creating our nice cars, our nice cinemas, our restaurants. We are trying to create so many varieties. So variety is the spice of life. It is also the mother of enjoyment. So what we're doing in the material world is we are trying to create some favorable animation in an unfavorable, inanimate world. You see? So therefore, what happens is there is frustration because matter does not reciprocate. See, it does not reciprocate. Neither in the subtle or gross form is there any reciprocation. So we find that the very nature of this material world is that there is always hostile reciprocation. Although we want a reciprocation, because we are separated from the supreme reciprocator, therefore we are always in want, we are always in need. So that is why, because of this, embarrassment, or because of this incompatibility, therefore the nature of the human being is we try to make so many adjustments. Those adjustments are done through artha, karma. These are, if you study, you'll find dharma, artha, karma. What is dharma, artha, karma, moksha? Can anyone answer? What is dharma, artha, karma, moksha? What is it?
Adjustment.
Yeah, but what is it? What is it?
Adjustments.
It's adjustments. You see? It's adjustment. That's all it is. Religion is an adjustment, you see? What you do is you have two things in this material world. It's called bhoga tyaga. Bhoga tyaga. So sometimes the adjustment is bhoga and sometimes it is tyaga. But you'll find only these two things are going on. In every single species, in every single situation, you can call it communism, altruism, humanitarianism, you can call it capitalism, you can call it what you damn like. But all it is adjustments. You see, it is some different adjustment, another ism. And basically the principle is some form of bhoga, some form of pleasure, some form of sense gratification, some form of betterment, some form of increasing. There is a need. But actually what it is some form of attempt to reciprocate. And this is what raga, the word raga actually means, reciprocation of love. You see? The word raga means reciprocation of love. So the science of bhakti, devotional service, is very scientific because we do not have any faith in material adjustments, you see? It doesn't matter whether you call it religiosity or whether it's economic development. They're both different sides of the same coin, you see? We're not interested in that because what is the meaning of religiosity? What is the meaning? Dharma prochita kaitava. Kaitava means cheating. There is some cheating business in Dharma also. You see, there is some cheating business in Dharma. So we're not even interested in so-called religiosity. We're not interested in economic development. We're not interested in sense gratification, and neither are we interested in liberation. So if you find, if you study closely, you'll find that all of the miseries in this world, they are coming in these four categories. You see, there's four categories there. There is an attempt for some sort of religiosity, so therefore there's some misery even affiliated with that, isn't there? Even if you want to be religious, you have to perform austerities, you have to go and sit in the mountains, or you have to give up charity, you have to go to church on a Sunday, say your Mass, you have to do some sort of penance, three Our Fathers and four Hail Marys, you see? There's some sort of, austerity there, some sort of misery there. And then if you want to economic development, there's so much misery there. Building big roads, skyscrapers, opening up businesses, opening up shops, restaurants, trying to create infrastructures in the social system, trying to educate the population so that they'll become very expert at computer technology, industrial technology, agricultural technology. There is so many different techniques. But and then if you have sense gratification, there are so many different types of misery related to sense gratification. We see how much inconvenience there is. You need money, you need to have a nice apartment, you need to have nice clothes, you need to be good looking, you need to have some sort of qualification. We see that in sense gratification, and then ultimately in liberation. Again, you have to perform austerities, again you have to go through all these different ritualistic things. So actual Krishna consciousness is completely transcendental to all these things. You see? It's completely transcendental to all these things. Why? Because it has the ability to bring you directly to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So therefore it has nothing to do with the material world. Krishna consciousness has absolutely nothing to do with matter. You see, it has nothing to do because it is direct. That's why it's called bhakti yoga. So therefore it says, Sabai pamsam paro dharmo yato bhakti ad hoksache hoitiki apratiyata yeyatma supersedati. The supreme occupational duty for all mankind is by that which man obtains to transcendental devotional service to the Supreme Lord. Such transcendental service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted in order to completely satisfy the self. As long as there is tinge of motivation or interruption, you see, as long as there is any consideration, any kind of distraction, you see, what is the meaning of unmotivated and uninterrupted? You see, unmotivated means where there is no desire whatsoever. A devotee is not even interested just like the example with Arjuna. Arjuna was fighting on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. And if you study the Bhagavad Gita, you'll find that he has to break down every single aspect of Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha. You see? In other words, if you study Arjuna's arguments, you'll find that his arguments are all related to some sort of sentiment, religious sentiment. Well, you know, these are my teachers, they're my gurus, these are my family, these are my friends. We will create unwanted population, society will be destroyed, you see? Then the other thing is he's thinking, what is the use of gaining, even if we gain the heavenly planets, you know, even if we gain this, what is the use of that? Even if we better ourselves in the material world, you see? And then he's thinking, my mind is disturbed, I can't tolerate the mind, the senses are giving me so much difficulty, you see? So if you study, you'll find that all of his arguments are based upon consideration of Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha. You see? So he's thinking, I'll get some liberation, I'll go to the forest, I'll become a yogi, I'll meditate, I'll do anything, Krishna. You see? I'll do anything. But the one thing is that Krishna says, is do thou fight for the sake of fighting, without considering happiness, distress, loss, gain, victory, defeat. And so doing, you will never incur sin. So in other words, because Krishna desires the fight, you see? Because Krishna desires the fight, therefore there is no need of consideration of all of these things. These things are material. And therefore, in the beginning, the first stage in Krishna consciousness is that one should perform sadhana bhakti. Sadhana bhakti is not religiosity. You see, it's not religiosity. It is not dharma. It is not dharma. Therefore, the beginning of bhakti yoga, the beginning of devotional service, is sarva dharma prityaja mamekam saranam braja. It is the end of the Bhagavad Gita. The Bhagavad Gita ends where the Srimad Bhagavatam begins. You see? And actually, what is the nature of Srimad Bhagavatam? We can see that in the first, in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, when the learned transcendentalists, when they are there, okay, we'll just read a few verses here to get the idea what has been said here. So the supreme occupation of Dharma for all humanity is by that which man can attain to love and devotional service unto the transcendental Lord. Such devotional service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted to completely satisfy the self. By rendering devotional service unto the personality of God in Sri Krishna, one immediately acquires causeless knowledge and detachment from this world. You see? So in other words, devotional service, because it's called parodharma, parodharma means the supreme occupation. It is not a material occupation. It has nothing to do with this material world. It is directly enacted on the transcendental plane. You see? It is directly enacted on the principle. By rendering devotional service unto the personality of God, one immediately acquires causeless knowledge. In other words, devotional service, the result is causeless because the activity is causeless. You understand the point? In other words, Krishna reciprocates with causelessness. He does not reciprocate with motivation. You understand? So the point is that when your love for Krishna is causeless, and that is why the gopis are the highest manifestation of that love. You see? Because the gopis were not intellectuals. They were not jnanis. They were not karmis. They didn't even know Vedic philosophy very well. They're just village girls. Prabhupada said if you go to India and you see village girls, they're very, very simple. You see? They're very, very simple. Isn't it? You've been to India, you've seen. They're very, very simple girls. But very, very sweet. Very, very sweet. You see? The nature of village people in India is they're very, very sweet people to meet. But they're not very intellectual. They don't have any big PhDs or they're not. They couldn't sit down and discuss the intricacies of Vedanta. Now, if you see Vedic custom in India, Prabhupada said even up to 50 years ago, the whole system was to sit around the village at night and listen to the Ramayana, listen to Krishna book, listen to Srimad Bhagavatam, like that. And if you go to any village in India and you start reading Srimad Bhagavatam, you'll automatically get 500 or 800 people around you. Automatically. Without any hesitation. But if you go into Bombay and start reading, probably no one. You see? Because the nature of the transcendental is that it is the plane of love. You see? It is the plane of love. There's no ingredient in love which is required more than love itself. You see? Love is the ingredient. The transcendental plane is made up of pramanja. Pramanja de bhakti vilo chanena. When one's eyes are anointed with prema. So prema does not mix. It does not mix. It does not need to mix with jnana or vairagya. You see? But prema brings automatically jnana and vairagya. You see? It automatically brings jnana and vairagya because it is so powerful. It is such a powerful thing, prema. Just like love, we can see in this material world. Love, when there is love, you can supersede everything. Just like suppose your husband is the chief justice. Suppose he's the Supreme Court justice, you see. But you can walk in there and you can say to him, you know, what did you leave your socks on the bed for, you fool? You know, like a wife, she can nag him when he gets home. You see? So, in that instant, Prabhupada explains that even though he may be the Supreme Court judge of the country, but when there is love, when there is affection, therefore he can be chastised by his wife. You see, she can nag him and she will not be punished. See, just like a king, he also, his children, they can actually pull him around. Sometimes the king is on the floor and the children are riding on his head. See, they're riding on his head. Prabhupada gave one very nice example that Disraeli was waiting, the American ambassador was waiting to see Disraeli, and he waited up to 1 hour. He became very impatient, number 10 Downing Street. So he looked through the little keyhole, and Disraeli was running around the room with his grandson on his neck and beating him like a horse, you see. So Prabhupada explains that even though he's big ambassador, big prime minister, and there's big ambassador waiting to see him, but more attraction is to play with his little grandson running around the room. See? So the point is that therefore, this is the secret, this is the mystery of the power of devotional service, that Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita. See, when bhakti is prayojita, when it is applied, then automatically, janayanti means it produces, what does it produce? It produces asu, very soon, vairagya and jnana. It produces these things. You see, you don't need to actually even worry. These things will automatically come. But the main thing you have to worry about is developing bhakti. You see? Not that you want to simply become jnani. Not that you want to become even a vairagi. You see? Actually, a devotee has no desire to become a big jnani or a big vairagi. But what he wants to do is he wants to develop love for Krishna. Now, developing love for Krishna is not cheap. You see? It's not cheap. And the quality of love is something which is our responsibility. It is our responsibility, you see, to love Krishna to the maximum quality. It is not just a matter that we can say, oh, I love Krishna, some empty, void kind of statement, you see? You see? Because what is the nature of someone who loves someone? Derek, what is the nature of someone who loves someone?
Serves.
Huh?
Serves.
Serve, yes, serve is there, but what is the nature? What is the name? Let's look at practical. Suppose a boy loves girl. What happens when a boy loves a girl?
Attraction.
Ah, attraction, exactly. This attraction is there. So what is that? Man mana bhava ma bhakto. Isn't it? Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, man mana bhava. You see? From the mind must come the bhava. If the bhava is not coming, then the whole thing's a waste of time. It's simply some show. You understand? It is a showing thing. The bhava must come. Man mana bhava ma bhakta. And then from bhava comes chastity. You see? From love comes chastity. Just like if you have a woman who loves her husband, she's not going to be unchaste. You see? She's not going to be unchaste. She's going to actually, because she loves her husband, even if the most biggest proposition comes, she'll not even entertain it. You see? So therefore a devotee is protected by his chastity of love. Because a devotee, because in this material world, Maya is creating so many allurements for us. You see? She's creating so many allurements. Allurements on the physical plane, allurements on the mental plane, allurements on the intellectual plane. And her whole business is to give us something except Krishna. She'll give us anything except Krishna. You see? That's why you'll find that you will be attracted to anything but Srimad Bhagavatam. I can guarantee if I bring you in a book about bus timetables around Ireland, and I left it lying around, and I left the Bhagavatam lying around, you'd probably find a devotee would immediately pick up bus timetables. Oh, what are they doing now in Kilkenny? I wonder what time that bus goes to Longford. You know, like that. So we find that because in the heart, the heart is dirty, therefore we're attracted to dirty things. You see? The heart is dirty, so we're attracted to dirty things. So, therefore, we have to make the heart clean. You see? So, this cleansing of the heart, chetara dhapana marjan, mahadavagata vapana, that this is a very difficult thing in this age, because the heart, everywhere you go, there's pollution. You see? Everywhere you look, there's something to tantalize your senses, something which is disturbing your mind. Everywhere, isn't it? In this age, everyone is Above all, always disturb, Sukadeva Goswami. Above everything else. They're unfortunate, they're lazy, they're stupid, they're less intelligent, they're everything. But above everything, they're always disturbed. You see? And that is the meaning of the word sudra. Sudra means one who laments over that which is not lamentable. See, the nature of a sudra, the nature of a less intelligent person, is that they are lamenting over that which is not lamentable. You see? And what is that which is not lamentable? You see? That which is not lamentable is that which does not exist. That which does not exist, you see? These things are not existing. Your body is not existing. Your body is just like a boil. You see, a boil that manifests because of some dirtiness in your body, isn't it? The boil comes, causes you immense pain and goes away. That's all the body is. It's like a big boil. You know, it's like you're just a walking boil. And inside it's full of pus and mucus and bile and stool and urine. You see? So we have taken shelter inside the boil. You see? We are too much worried about the boil. And we've forgotten about ourselves. So in this material world, that is all that's going on, you see. If you look, actually it's a good example, because the body has 9 holes. And what comes out of them? All obnoxious substances. So it's like a boil. When you make a hole in a boil, all comes out. Because I just had one, I know. So therefore, the less intelligent means that we are too much absorbed in the skin and bone business, you see. We're too much absorbed. So sudra means one who is lamenting. So we're always concerned whether my skin and bone will be very nice today, whether I look after it very nicely, whether I can satisfy it very nicely, you see. And therefore Krishna consciousness is raga. We have to develop raga. Sadhana means to actually sadhana, Prabhupada describes it as just like when a child learns to walk, you see. Actually there's no need of the child learning to walk. The walking is a spontaneous, natural manifestation. You see? So sadhana actually is the same thing. There's no need, actually in the true sense, there's no need of sadhana. Because the natural nature of the soul is raga. You see? The nature of the soul is raga. That is the actual nature. So the unnatural thing, material activities. They are the unnatural. The moment our raga, our affection, is for the wrong thing. So sadhana is a very, very important process. It is extremely important because it is a question of minimizing or moving our attraction away from matter. You see? And because we have been here since time immemorial, because we have been here since so long, therefore it's very, very difficult for us because we're very dull-headed. So therefore sadhana is very, very important. So we should treat this sadhana, because without sadhana there is no question of raga. You see? Raga mika, raga nuga. It will not come. You can't you can't artificially create raga nuga. But the point is that if you are very, very serious about sadhana, then you will find that automatically this pouring of love for Krishna will come from within the heart. There will be like a gushing. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that just like it gushes out. You see? It gushes out. It's like when you open the floodgates, it just pours out, you see? So at the moment you might be thinking, well, why is it not pouring out, you know? Just there's not even a drip coming out. See? Not even a drip. Because we are still so much attached to this material world. You see, we should never artificially think that we have obtained a level that we're not really on. So because our minds, as it says in the Bhagavad Gita, for those who are too much attached to material sense gratification, you see, so what is this thing? Is attachment. This is the thing which you can actually see. Is it like a thermometer? When your attachment, when one is too much attached to what? Sense gratification. Then the resolute determination for devotional service does not take place. So these attachments are like anchors. Just like if you throw big anchors into the ground. You see these big ships there, these massive anchors. So some of us, we have these big anchors. And they're embedded very deeply. You see, they're embedded very deeply.